This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Oh My Dog with me, Jack D.
And me, Sean Walsh.
This is our weekly podcast where we reveal the most intimate, ridiculous details of our relationship with our beloved dogs.
I have the delightful, spirited Mildred Barrett, who is a cockapoo.
My streetwise best friend is Dolly, the long-haired chihuahua whom we rescued. This podcast sets out to answer the all-important questions like, how do you greet your dog? Do you kiss your dog on the mouth? Does your dog sleep in your bed? And so on.
Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of our chats with our equally dog-obsessed guests who roll over and tell all.
You are very much part of this podcast too, and we want to hear from you. You can get in touch by emailing us at hello@omdpod.com.
And find us on Instagram at omdpod. So give us a shout and follow us on social media too.
Hello.
Hi, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. How's Mildred been this week? Because you're at home, I'm away. So I'm low on dog news, apart from the fact that I get sent photos by Jane when she takes Dolly off to... she's been to Nero's with Dolly.
I've been to Nero's with Dolly.
Yeah, you have. Well, not since I've been away.
No.
What's going on? Yes, yeah, so Dolly likes a trip to Nero's, as you know.
Do they do Poppuccinos?
What is that? Is that for a dog, is it?
Yes, so
yeah.
The cafe chain, mm-hmm. I wanted to tell you about this, the cafe chain Black Sheep Coffee.
Right.
Little plug there.
Well, don't plug them because we're not getting any money off them. So forget the name that you've just heard. Anyway, the cafe, go on.
There's a cafe chain. Mm. And, well, actually, it was free and now they've started charging. They do a thing called Puppuccino, which is some cream, whipped cream, in a espresso shot cup with a couple of dog biscuits in it.
And does Mildred like that?
Well, Mildred loves it. And when I get to Westfield and I turn the corner, she knows where we're going and she goes on her two back legs.
Of course.
And starts trying to run to the cafe that shall not be named.
Lovely.
Yesterday, I was at my local cafe, and I got an espresso before my run, and Mildred started going bonkers.
Right.
Really out of character. I didn't know what was going on, and she thought I'd bought her a Puppuccino.
Then you twigged, and she thought it was for her.
Yeah.
Oh, but they don't. But they don't do it there at that cafe.
No.
Oh. So she had a run without a coffee, and you did have a coffee.
Well, I went and got her some oat milk.
Right. Oh, well, that's good. She felt that she was at least being given something.
Yes. Yeah. Middle class dog on oat milk.
Yeah, of course. Dolly always turns her nose up when, you know, shopkeepers and cafe, would she like a biscuit? Would she like a little treat? And she always looks rather disdainfully at those. No, thanks. I'm good. I'll probably have some smoked salmon when I get in. She's just a little bit of a snob like that. But Mildred loves her treats in the cafes and stuff, doesn't she?
Loves the treats.
Yeah, goes for it.
And she's... Has Dolly done this? Mildred, I've realised now there's a pattern. Me and Grace have discovered that Mildred will go off... Is this a thing? She'll go off her main food every sort of 6 weeks. Do you know about this? This is a thing.
Well, Dolly is the other way around, really. About every 6 weeks, she'll... actually eat a full bowl of her food, and that seems to keep her going. She's not, you know, she's so tiny. And I mean, listeners might say, oh, that's because you treat her to your food. We don't really. I mean, she has little nibbles and treats, but she seems to sort of get by on that because she's so small. But I think with Mildred, it's probably she just gets bored of it. Don't you think? Do you vary which one it is?
Well, we've just switched from this, which we've talked about, I think, this like packaged kind of, they say it's human food. We talked about human, that.
Yeah. I know.
That. She's gone from that to Caesar's, the normal.
Yeah, and every year or so, someone comes out with, you know, a sort of likeable looking brand. You know, it's like, you know, oh, it's Priscilla's dog food. You know, hello, my name's Priscilla, and I like making food for my dog. And I thought it was such a success, I thought I'd roll it out, and now it's for sale in all supermarkets. It is. It's like when people, those ones who make muesli, they get on my nerves. You know what I mean? but they do it for dogs as well. So, but I mean, maybe it is just worth changing it around, switching it around, getting a different brand.
That's what we've done. We've moved to, can I say the brand? Or do you think we should wait? We should wait.
Maybe you should say, hey, you know, you don't know what you're missing out on here. Sean Walsh, his dog eats your food. And we're not even going to mention it until we get a whole shed load of money off you. Go on, tell us what it is. What is it?
Well, it's Caesar.
Caesar, yeah, yeah, Caesar. Yeah. The little pouches.
Yes, you know, the little pouches. Yeah, very handy.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, they're good. I do feel sorry for dogs, but when they have to eat the same thing all the time, and it's a bit like if you're human and all you ever ate was pate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because it does. It looks like that, doesn't it? You think, oh, what is this? Some sort of mechanically recovered meat from. Ugh.
I think I need to fess up to something here, and maybe this isn't a good idea.
You eat it as well. Yeah, is it all right on toast? Is that what you're going to tell us?
Yeah. Really good on sourdough, actually. As long as it's sourdough.
Of course.
Do you? I think you won't do this, but I'm being overly honest here. On a really, really lazy day, I might not. Only on a really lazy day,
right?
I might not change the dog bowl between breakfast and dinner.
Oh, that's does Grace know?
But she does it as well.
Oh no, really? Oh.
Do you think is that bordering on animal cruelty? Don't.
No, it's not cruelty. It's probably it's probably for hygiene reasons. You should change it and wash it. Well, mind you, you know, she's probably licking her own parts in between anyway. So what is it? Yeah,
I think that's more common than you think. I'm sure there's lots of listeners out there going, I thought I was the only one that did that.
I bet there are. I bet there are lots of slovenly people out there thinking, I'm not alone. See, Sean does it as well.
You've nailed my demographic.
I tell you what, I'm quite fussy about changing her water on a very regular basis. I think that's quite. I just sort of think that's important, only because I don't fancy drinking a glass of water that's been there all day. So I'll.
What do you mean? Well, it's water. It doesn't go off, does it?
No, but it gets if it's been in a bowl on the ground and it hasn't been drunk. Because Mildred might get through more water than Dolly, but there's a chance the same water could be there for 3 or 4 days. So I think it's good to change it over.
No, I like that. I don't like it. Yes, I change it if I see bits in it.
That's a good rule of thumb, I suppose. Change it if you see bits in it. But no, I think I can't endorse not cleaning the bowl in between feeds.
No, I know. I'm not asking you to.
No, I think it's I didn't know that about you, Sean. I'm sorry. Thank you for your honesty, though.
Oh, and Mildred's anal glands have cleared up as well, by the way.
Oh, I'm delighted. Yeah. And did that involve any? Did the vet need to get involved in that?
Well, this is the thing. We've actually, maybe it's a bit dramatic. We've decided, and I won't name and shame. I'm not going to do that on here. But we've decided to not go back to the vets we've used.
Ah, right.
Because we went to the vets about her anus.
Yes.
The first time. They said, right. you know, hopefully it clears up.
Mm-hmm.
We went back.
Yes.
And that was the time I spoke to you. And they gave us some cream. And that didn't solve the problem. And so then we went back again. And then they finally put her on antibiotics. That meant months of the problems with Mildred's anus.
So it meant three payments instead of one, basically. That's where my mind goes with that. They know she's going to need antibiotics in the end, but I'm going to make you pay two more times before you get it.
Definitely. That's,
yeah, yeah. They're a funny breed, vets. We've had some brilliant vets, but there are one or two who are quite. We once went one of our Dachshunds had a terrible business. No, you know, you should never give dogs lamb bones or chicken bones.
I didn't know that. I'm glad.
Very, very bad for them because they splinter and they chew and they really churn them up inside. Anyway, one of our dogs got hold of a lamb chop bone, and you know she was in a real state, and we had to take her to the vet. And he was a South African bloke, and he said, he's gonna get cleared out, and he did some stuff for her. I can't remember exactly how he treated it. But I said, what happens to dogs in the wild? I thought dogs could eat anything. Yeah. He said, they just die. They just die. I mean, you know, in the wild, a wild dog, he's from South Africa, but they live 18 months. That's it. All they're wow. meant to do is procreate and die. So they have very short lives out there in the wild. And if anything goes wrong, that's it. There's curtains for them.
Wow.
Going back to Mildred, what was the symptoms of the gland?
It was the leaking. There was a leaking and it was causing her poos were runny, which right. made it difficult. I always feel bad. I always feel bad when I've cleaned up a poo on the pavement. It's not a solid one, so you don't quite... And now it just looks like someone's stepped in a big one.
Yes. Did you ever think you'd have a conversation like this? Let alone, you know, in a public arena, like, you know.
I
know, because sometimes you see that. It looks like someone's, you know, spilled a pot of paint or something.
Yes, exactly. I know. I get such guilt.
Yeah, because you can't really, you can't just scoop that up, can you?
No. No, I'm not going to go. I can't go and get a mop. I've done my bit.
You sort of have, yeah. Maybe go around with a kettle and just to sort of wash the pavement down and apologise to people. Yeah.
Shall we have a look at people that have got in touch?
Mmm.
We've got some lovely messages, Jack.
It's nice because we're starting to get people sort of saying hello, aren't we?
I know. Some lovely, the reviews are in.
Yeah.
We've got lots of five-star reviews.
Yeah.
It kind of averages out. And we're on 4.9 because many people gave us five stars and a few gave us one.
Okay, so that will bring it down, won't it? That's... I like that we've divided the opinion.
It's
Marmite
podcasting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's probably some cat owner who, by mistake, yeah. got hold of this. Oh, I hate this. Yeah. I hate it.
But overall, very nice things. Still Just Jones says, it's lovely to hear Sean on form and being chilled out. There you go, I'm chilled out over here.
Yeah.
And it's fab to hear Jack relaxed and conversational.
Yeah, I'm usually... conversational, I think. I mean, that was a very nice thing to say. And then Eva says, it is just Eva. That's the only name we've got.
Yeah.
But Eva says, love it already and such a great pairing of hosts. So funny. Have to say, Sean's dog voice is a bit freaky, though. Which is, we better...
I think yours is. I think dog voices are freaky.
They're really... It is a strange world when you go into how people... talk to their dogs, but that's what this podcast is very much about.
Well, yes. Well, look, speaking of which, we've had a voice note from Spirit in North London. Right, this is from Instagram.
I'm looking forward to hearing this because I haven't heard it yet.
Well, it's a bit, it's a dog voice.
Hi, my name's Spirit. I live in North London with my dog, who is a Shih Tzu, a mix between a Shih Tzu and a toy poodle, and he is called Oggy. And he's with me now, and this is how I talk to him. Hi,
my baby. He's my little Oggy. He's my little Oggy Pops. He's my Yogster. My Oggy, Oggy, Oggy. Oggy for Christie. He's my good boy. He's my good boy. Can I have a kiss? Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, such a handsome boy. Where's the sock? Get the sock. Oh, what's that? Dobby has a sock. Oh, Dobby has a sock. Okie, okie, okie. He's got a socky as he does. Oh, thank you. Who's a good boy? Oh, big shake. Oh, big shake.
That's great. Now, that was Spirit talking to her dog, Oggie. But that was, who's a sheepoo, she explained. I'd not heard of a sheepoo before. What was your first take on that, Sean?
I think you could tell the size of the dog by the voice.
Right. Oh, interesting. Yeah.
That's a voice you use for a tiny dog. You wouldn't use that for a big Labrador, would you? That was a very small... You can fit that dog in a bag.
Yeah.
Was that the voice you'd use for a baby? I keep on... Oh, this is awful. I keep on calling my new daughter... I keep on calling her the Mourners by mistake.
And so, does she just look at you like you're weird or doesn't understand at all what that is about?
Yeah, I'm not a dog.
Yeah, you need to know that about me. I think that was really enchanting in a way. She's just completely in a world of her own with her dog. And that's a little bit of private joy that you have as a result of having a dog, isn't
that's it? That's it. That's absolutely it.
Is that Mildred in the background?
That is Mildred. Again, it's like the same time she does it. I don't know what she's... Hang on. Mildred, what's she barking at? Oh, a cat. We've messed up. Jack, we don't have any curtains at the back.
Right.
And it's the curtains are coming, but it's really caused problems. She just watches it. She sits at the back now. And we used to have the really kind of small back doors. And now we've opened it up into those bifolds. So she just wakes up and watches the bifolds at like it's a massive cinema, just looking out for the cats.
And when the cats come in, then she goes mad.
Yeah, that's it. So we're having waiting for curtains.
That's great. That's great. That's exactly what you want your dog to do, really.
It winds me up. The cats just sit at the top. They sit. I don't have a problem with cats, but they sit up there and they know. They don't hear the barking and go, yeah, no, I'm sorry, it's your turf, I better leave. They see the barking. They see Mildred jumping up against the window and they sit there and they look at it and they go, what are you going to do?
Yeah, they do it deliberately.
They love it.
I mean, they just like to wind dogs up, don't they? That's the thing. And they know they can stay well out of the dog's way if they need to.
Yes, precisely.
They also understand something that dogs don't understand, and that is windows. there's glass. You can see the cat looking, you idiot. There's glass in between us. What are you going to do? You know, poor dog doesn't understand. It doesn't understand why you can't get out there.
No.
You know, well, it's nice little insight into your domestic life there. But you're having trouble confusing your baby with the dog and
I'll work on it.
That wrong.
I'll work on it.
It's inevitable, but it sounds like a happy household. But that was lovely of Spirit to send that in.
Very
I'm
nice.
Really pleased. I think that's one of our first voicemails that we've had, and it's good that she's listened and got the idea of sending that in. That was terrific.
And anything, any queries, anything you wanna ask, or indeed inform us if Jack has said anything, if I said anything, and you want to add to it, let us know.
Or even correct us. Although by now you'll know that we are experts, and it's mostly advice you'll be seeking, I expect.
I bet there'll be a big backlash to what I said about the dog bowls.
Oh, inevitably, No, there'll be more one-star reviews as a result of that. Dirty Sean. That's what they call you, you know that.
They called me that before. Dirty Sean. Dirty Sean.
Dirty Sean.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams, so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Now, Jack, anyway, we've got a wonderful guest.
Yeah, we have indeed, yeah. Looking forward to this. Today's guest is Russell Cain, an award-winning comedian, podcaster, actor, presenter, and author. He's currently touring Essex Variant around the UK, Ireland, and then he's off to Europe. But we don't want to hear about all those amazing achievements. We want to get to know him through his dog. Hello, Russell.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Great to have you here.
Great. Well, I'm excited to discover what we're going to talk about. I don't know if you know what I'm working on at the moment, but I'm working on a book about dogs.
For real?
I'm for real, yeah. For Quarto, it's a children's book. Uh-huh. So we just got a new cat, and my daughter, who's seven, was obsessed with going through dog and cat breed profile books, which I was obsessed with when I was a kid, and going, what's the behaviour of a Burmese cat like compared to a Persian? And or the dog would be a Border Terrier compared to a pug. And I realised kids love it when you bring them to life with more of a character. If you've pug, imagine if you had a lazy mate who just liked watching TV and farting. I thought, hello, there's a book there. Quarto agreed. So I'm currently wading in dog breed research.
So perfect guest. So you have a pug.
I have an elderly pug called Colin.
Yeah.
Bless him. He's 11.
How old is Colin? 11, you say?
11. I call death plus 2 years in pug language, because a pug past nine is something to behold.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, congratulations on being a good dad to Colin. Tell us, who is Colin?
So Colin is a male pug. I know there realises some ethical concerns around this breed. Knowing what I know now, I probably would have tried to go for a dog that was less brachycephalic, as the term goes, but, you know, slightly longer in the muzzle, as we have had passing out issues over the years. He had to have an emergency nose job where we widened the nose holes and things like that. So I probably,
really?
Wow.
I probably would get a pug cross if I got a dog pug again. But for me, it's the perfect companion. Just, I believe people should date opposites, and they should get pets that match their energy in an opposite way. So the worst dog for me would be a Springer Spaniel. I need someone to chill me out. Colin hates walking. He likes watching TV. He sits there with a glazed expression, not fussed about everything, which is the opposite to me, obviously. Jack in the box fired. So he sorts me out. He's been great on the road. I think when he was younger, we used to go on the road. I've taken him on stage.
Oh, you're taking him on stage?
On stage.
Oh, wow. Did he like that?
Yeah, yeah. So what we did was he just did a little act at the side of the stage. I could control him through sign language, so it would look like he was doing all these dances and stuff, and a hand would come on and I'd go bang, and he would go, and he would die. I'd put the microphone to his mouth whilst doing a sign to speak off stage, looking like he was speaking into the microphone. You know the speak command. Speak, speak. Yeah, if you do speak, a dog goes, row. So it would look like he was doing all these things, and then I threw
this isn't stand-up comedy, Russell. This is the circus.
Yeah.
It sounds like an early round of Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
You know, where
regional heats.
That's quite nice, but he's obviously a bit mad, so let's let him go home with his dog.
He loved it. He loved it. His performing days are gone now, bless him. But he's got a passport as well. I drove from London to the south of Spain. It took 4 days, and we stayed in all these cool hotels. We had a single bed each.
Oh,
we've done loads together, man. Loads.
It sounds as though did you train Colin to do these tricks?
Yeah. Okay. So pug, you never see pug in the top 10 clever breeds ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But that's because you just don't understand understand how a pug's brain works. The one thing you've got, if you've got a pug, a boxer, French bulldog, one of those breeds, is the food motivation. It's also dangerous because they can get overweight. But once you realise how motivated by food a pug is, you can really get some good, cool tricks out of them. I mean, a Border Terrier, and someone says, oh, my Border Terrier can sit. It's like, on my Border Collie, I'm like, so what, mate? You know, or a Labrador that can sit. Oh, what, I'm supposed to be astonished. If you stand, like, behind a doorway where they can see you through the top, you know, like one of those hatch doorways, and you hold a tree, a dog will naturally bark in frustration. So you just need to match it with that snap, snap hand gesture. Listeners, I'm doing like I'm operating a glove puppet, and they associate that with speaking and getting a tree.
Okay.
That's how you do it. It's easy.
Wow.
One day training.
That's an amazing thing to have done. What's Colin's best trick for you to do?
Speaking into the microphone look good, because obviously you're not seeing the hand, you're just seeing the mic come on stage, and Colin, the mic goes near his mouth and he goes, "Row!" like he's talking into it, but really it was my hand controlling it off stage. And then at the end, I'm doing from behind the curtain, speaking, just my arm is on stage lit. So it looks like he's speaking. Then at the end, I would throw the treat to my tour manager on the other side of the stage, and it would look like Colin was exiting stage right, even though he'd entered from stage left. So, I mean, the audience minds were blown, but they were very simple, very, very simple tricks. But just to have a dog that is a chilled companion so you don't have to stress in a hotel room is the biggest trick you can ever teach your dog.
Colin helped you with stress, is that what you're saying?
Just on the road, like when you first start, obviously I'm broken and used to it now and dead on the inside, like all stand-ups that have done more than five tours. I mean, I could literally stick a compass in my leg whilst performing and wouldn't even feel the blood squirting out by the end of a tour. Mm. You know, where you're so numb to what you're saying. But when you first started...
I just want to say, I don't have that. I just want to come out and...
No, what I mean is, just if you don't get used to loneliness as a stand-up, you are screwed, okay? So you have to solitude. I prefer solitude. So I now love solitude. But when I first started, I came from, you know, seeing my friends every night of the week, always with my girlfriend, always with my family, all of a sudden, in a travel lodge after being clapped at by 100 people in an art centre, I was like, this feels different. So the dog... Not so much a therapy dog, but you do talk to your dog. It's like you've got a mate with you.
It's company, isn't it? It's just company.
Totally.
To put in the hard work in that first 6 months, which so many people don't do. You can't stay in a posh hotel, otherwise you're going to have a dog yapping at you or ruining things. And that was my greatest achievement, was having this chilled companion that would just kept me company. And those three tours were made a lot easier. Now what I'm saying is I've just... You know, 3 days on my own in a hotel room in between tours. I don't feel anything anymore. I don't know what that means. I've just got used to it.
Yeah, you must really miss him for that. But he's a bit too old, is he, to do the travelling with you? Is that what it is?
No. I think he would probably be all right. But he's, to be honest with you, where the sight and the ears are going, he's learned the route around the house. He doesn't even enjoy like a small walk to the shops really now. He does get...
Or do you think he's also, maybe he's got sick of your act?
Possibly, yeah. He never laughed anyway.
He's had enough. No. So when you're away...
You two was on, he would actively soil the floor, though. So I didn't know what that...
So when you're away, he must miss you. Does he pine for you?
Well, we've got... Lindsay's runs businesses from home, and we're very lucky. This is why I've moved north, even though it brings me out in hives not being in London. Yeah. Always got like Auntie Christine will move in when we're away. So whoever's in the house... He's like a family member.
Okay, yeah.
When he was a puppy, he went to a day kennel a couple of times when I was still working my day job and doing stand-up. But I've been very lucky. He's always been in his space. And I think with dog and separation anxiety, if they're in their own space and they're seeing someone they know, even if it's only for 2-3 hours a day, you're probably going to get away with it. But this is why we say to people, select per temperament. People seem to select for looks first. Oh, I love the look of a Border Collie. Do you know what a Border Collie was bred for? So select a breed for temperament. And then when you go to look at the litter, if you're busy with no life, like I am, select the lowest energy dog in that litter. Who's going to the teat last? Who's the most chilled when you go and cuddle them? Pick that dog if you're busy, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I think that's a good tip, actually. And I like what you said at the very beginning, which is to get something opposite your own personality, because that's more of a compliment, isn't it, to the way you live? Because you're quite rightly, especially if you're taking your companion with you on tour, you don't need something that also wants to exercise its energy, because you get it out of your system on stage. The last thing you need is a dog that says, let's go for a run now or something.
Exactly. And the guilt of not walking a dog that needs walking. I mean, I know people that have dogs.
Oh, I hate that.
And that guilt is horrible. And whereas if you maybe are struggling a bit with your weight, or you maybe you've got social anxiety issues, get a dog that needs to go out. We've had two people on a show I help present where the dogs have changed their life because they were almost like post-COVID agoraphobic, but where the Springer needed to go out, they had no choice. And what happens is, with a dog like a Springer or a Labrador, people talk to the dog first. So it's like a stepping stone for you talking to strangers. So by the day, oh, what's your dog? What's his name? And before you know it, you're having a conversation. Whereas if you're someone that was shy and not outgoing before, that might not have happened.
Did you grow up with dogs, Russell? Did you always have them?
We've always had one. It's always been, I'm a multi-cat household, one dog household. It's easy peasy to introduce kittens to a dog. It's much, much harder the other way around to introduce a puppy into a cat dominant household. Can be impossible, can fail, where you have to take the puppy back. But the other way around, Colin is, we call him, sounds really schmaltzy, Colin the kitten nurse, because whenever the new cat arrives, the first night, introducing cat to cat is, I know it's a different podcast, but it's a different skill. Cat's territory is their brain. So they just like fuck up and start hissing and lose the plot when they see another cat. So the first night is always spent in my room here, in my office, with the Colin and the kitten. And within an hour, the kitten's cuddling up to the dog. I've never had any issues with a dog growling or being territorial with a cat.
Yeah.
But when I was growing up, it was a Yorkshire Terrier, which, again, is an advanced dog breed. People don't realise. You need to know your stuff with a Yorkshire. You need to train it. You need to walk it. They can be snappy if you don't get it right. And then when I moved out, I got a Cocker Spaniel, and that was the next one. And then we're on to Colin. It's 11 years.
Have you got a special voice you use for Colin when you talk with Colin?
It's quite sort of masculine. What, mate? How you doing? Cool. Oh, right. Like one of the, one of the lads, yeah.
He sounds, Colin's a bit of a geezer, is he? Is that how you're thinking?
Yeah, he gets to come here, right? Because they've got all the folds hanging off the carrier, and it's absolutely stinks. That's obviously, right. I can't smell it because I love him. But my God, a pug is a next level of stink. Within an hour of washing a pug, any sign that he was washed is gone, and a smell of bin bag comes poking through again. They are one of the smelliest, fartiest, snoringest breeds of all the dog breeds.
You talked about Colin, you know, aging, and did you say his smell's gone and his hearing, his sight and
hearing.
And
his
hearing.
Smell ain't great either, actually, that's also not brilliant.
We lost our family dog years ago, Gertrude, and obviously she aged, and, you know, we would try and make her life easier by, you know, a step up onto the bed and stuff like that. But it's difficult, isn't it, watching your dog age. I'm always sensitive to that. It always kind of, I have to block, you said that, and immediately I have to kind of block it out, because I just, it's like I almost want to cry just immediately at the dog aging. And is that, how do you kind of comfort yourself with that?
I always think they're not like us animals. So is the animal happy? He's content as anything. He wanders up in the, he just sort of totters across slightly sideways, really nice greeting, goes to his food. He's going out the cat flap to the bathroom fine. He's happy. So he's having a great old age. So what I would love for Colin is just to have a long old age and then bang in his sleep. Rather than that horrible, you know, like my cat Keith that we lost during lockdown, who was nearly 20, you know, that sort of two-month period of, you know, is the cat in pain? You know, when is the right moment? I hate that. At the moment, yes, and he's been like this for about a year, all grey fur, like legs going like that, but just seems so happy in himself. What can you do with that? You just got to let him be happy and old.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, does he still enjoy walks?
We do go, like a 10, 15 minute one to the shop, but it's the nerves, where the sight's gone. It's the nerves of, is it a puddle? Is it a lake? How deep's that curb?
Okay.
He's a bit anxious because of the sight thing. He's doing really well, though. He does, you know, he throws himself in, literally, if it's a puddle.
You quite often see dogs, not often, but they can get those little coats from them that says blind on them.
Ah, I didn't know that.
So that other dogs don't write, well, dogs don't read that, but owners will.
Yeah. I bet a border collie does. That says blind, master.
Yeah.
Flash master. So flash, aren't they, the border collie? I'll just finish some administration and I'll be through, master.
It's an awkward thing to sort of talk about what you might get as your next dog. But hypothetically, what have you got in your mind, Russell?
Well, definitely a break, because things are... I envisage this stage of my career as I would be on a soup and spinning a wheel round, working once a week, maybe doing like 4 tour dates a year. I didn't realise I'd still be doing 120 dates and an exciting pilot that I'm developing. It's like, oh God, it's not exciting. It's exhausting. I'm so bored with developing something exciting. That mixed with the only way I seem to be able to get time off where the phone truly doesn't ring is to be abroad. So I'm just, I find myself at an unusually busy time period of my life, which doesn't match my age. So I might have like a year or two's buffer, so I don't have the holiday guilt when I'm away, even though I shouldn't, because we've got relatives.
Okay,
but
yeah,
I think
I'm
quite keen on a Chihuahua, purely size-wise.
Ah.
Not to be raised as a lap dog, to be raised as a dog properly. If you raise a Chihuahua right, they are amazing dogs, long lifespans, less health issues, quite robust.
Yeah, Jack.
Yeah, you're talking to a Chihuahua
I did
owner.
Not know that.
So, or a Chihuahua cohabitor.
Chilled or snappy?
Yeah, Dolly, long-haired Chihuahua. We got her when she was six. And she's not snappy at all and doesn't yap. And she's an absolute little angel. Yeah. She's sweet. A really lovely company. But I don't know a Chihuahua that won't jump up onto your lap, though. That's the thing they do. They just love to sort of be around you like that. So
If invited. The key.
Yeah, it sounds like you're a very instinctive trainer of dogs.
Yes.
It's obvious.
When Colin was younger and actually could still jump on the sofa, bless him, he has to be lifted now whilst emitting more gases than the periodic table recognises. But Colin was allowed, but would sit and wait until the hand signal showed he was invited. I've got no problem with dogs on laps. I've got no problem with dogs going through doorways or upstairs. But if the dog is doing that before you or uninvited, that is dominant behaviour, and you might get away with it. But one day, when a toddler puts their hand into that dog's space and you're not concentrating, you don't want a dog that thinks it's the alpha of the house. That's a dog that is more likely to snap or bite. Any dog trainer will tell you that. So anything's fine as long as you've said this is on my terms. So I would have absolutely have my Chihuahua cuddling me. I would have my Newfoundland dog up on my lap cuddling me if I had one. But if it were it to dare to put one paw on me or my sofa without my permission, that's a hand out.
Oh my God.
Energy correction.
So Colin is allowed pretty much anywhere, free reign.
Yeah.
But on your terms, only if you allow it.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Oh, my God. I'm getting a lot of guilt talking to you.
When I walk in a lead, when he was younger, obviously, if I was going into a shop, always me through the door first. He would wait, even on the lead, and then come through after. It's a sign that you own this space. It sounds trivial, like I'm on a power trip, but once someone comes over to your table with a five-year-old, and my dog sat quietly waiting for permission to interact, that's a safer dog. Do you see what I mean?
Okay, yes.
Yeah, of course it is, yeah. Where did you learn all this, Russell? Was it reading books, or did your parents show you how to do that, or you've just got away with animals?
I am an absolute bookworm, audiobook, podcasts, this podcast well up my street.
Yes.
I listen to everything. I watched probably every episode of Caesar that was on TV. Some people have got issues with some of the extremist stuff he does, but I just try to understand how a dog's brain works. It's like they're speaking to us. They've got human eyes. But they do have different brains, and you just got to get your head around that. And it's not being wicked or cruel to train a dog. You're helping it to feel secure like it would in the wild.
Yeah.
We used a crate for the first 4 years with Colin. Now I don't need it anymore. But he would go into his crate, and I didn't even need to shut the door, but he felt safer in there, that crate training.
Yeah, I've heard of that before as well. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track. We care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Well, during lockdown, we know that Colin featured on Celebrity Snoop Dogg.
I know, even his age.
He had a camera strapped to him as he roamed around your house.
Yeah.
Now, what did you discover anything that you didn't know? What's Colin getting up to when Daddy's not looking?
That was like his last media appearance before formal retirement.
Okay.
He's one of the advantages of training your dog. See, a lot of people make the mistake of training the dog just by voice. Sit, which is great. But what if you are, in my case, because Dr. Colin was working, like behind a camera and you don't want your voice to be heard, or if your dog's further away and looking at you and you want to signal. So big hand signals, really useful. So this means sit for Colin. But I can do that from a big distance away and he would hit a sit. Also good for safety.
Yeah.
There with roads or running towards other dogs.
Yeah.
So when he was running around the house, it was great. My episode looked like he was doing all these amazing things off his own accord. But of course, I was able to be behind the camera, manipulating him. Stop, wait, come. All of this, but without the words if needed.
For listeners, I can say, because we can see Russell. Russell was giving very demonstrative hand signals that are quite clear and obvious from a distance. So it's good. Have you ever, by mistake, strayed into using those with your human?
All the time. Oh, God, and my child. No, we joke, right? But if you've trained a puppy and done it like a puppy, obviously we should all try and rescue dogs if we can. We all should.
Yeah.
But if you've got an existing household of cats or something, it's much, much harder to bring an adult dog in. It just wouldn't be. I probably would have ended up having to take the dog back to the shelter. That's why I've always gone to puppies, because it's coming into an existing pack.
So Colin had a camera strapped to his back.
It was a through the keyhole program that could be filmed in lockdown.
Oh,
so the crew all arrived and they based themselves outside, you know, within 2 meters of me in a room that's ventilated. We actually had an external person monitoring the COVID protocol. So it's not like we could go, whatever, and close the door.
Mm-mm.
So it was I was on earpiece and I was able to direct the dog around the house to get whatever shots they needed. Then when it played into the studio that night or on TV for people at home, they had to guess whose house it was based on little clues that Colin, you know, he would film like something to do with stand-up comedy or a book or something to do with Essex or something. Like some fake tan would be on the floor with a treat underneath it and things like that. I was orange shamed on Channel 4 of all channels.
That sounds great, because I've often wanted to know what my dog gets up to when I'm not at home or when she's just on her own, and where I suspect she just sleeps, really. She's not really that bothered. She's very pleased to see us when we get in. So she's always got one ear listening out for the car, and she can tell, because we live in a street, she knows if it's our car or not, which is I've always thought is really clever.
How old is she?
Well, she's now about 13.
She's sleeping during the day.
Yeah, she's sleepy. She's a sleepy thing, and she's
By the sounds of it, Russell's got Colin cleaning the house.
If only
before he gets back, having dinner ready.
I'll just say that people listening to this that are interested in dogs and don't have one yet. They'd be the people I'd love to reach with this stuff.
Yeah,
so they can sort of educate themselves. And I love cats and dogs equally. I call myself bipetual, right?
Okay.
I literally cannot choose. I love them both.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of prejudice out there, guys.
Yeah.
So for families that just don't have the garden or that everyone's working, which is most families these days, there are some cat breeds which are so dog-like that someone like me is qualified to say it, as I have both. You know when someone goes, my cat's like a dog, you're like, oh, shut up, it's nothing like mine. I have both.
Mm-hmm.
The Burmese cat sits, fetches, will be more annoying and need more attention than a dog, if that's what you're looking for, that one-on-one bond.
Wow.
But you can go, if you've got a pair of them, go to work without the guilt. They'll take themselves out the cat flap and they bury their own poo.
Mm. Oh, that's what you want.
But they're so friendly, you have to cat-proof the garden. It can't really leave the house or the garden. That's the price you pay for the total dog-like nature of the Burmese cat. They wouldn't survive like a normal cat on the street.
Would you then have to train them to not leave
no,
the garden?
No, you can't proof your garden, so you can either put some like smooth fence at the top, or you can get some radio collars that emit a sound that they hate when they get near a boundary. Okay. They've got like a receiver on there.
Have your cat's got the receiver thing?
Yes.
All right, yeah. Okay.
Because I've got three breeds that are all dog-like, a Devon Rex, a Burmese, and the most ridiculous of all, the Ragdoll. That's probably a bit too far for some people. I mean, I can bring him in and show you. You can literally pick him up, carry him like a baby. It's just stares blankly into space.
Wow.
I thought the Ragdoll breed description was an exaggeration, but it's if you've got kids, they literally in the buggy, dressing them up, hats on. I mean, I've never heard a hiss. I've never seen a paw raised. I trust the Ragdoll more than Colin, who's never growled at a human being in his life.
Yeah, I like cats, and I have had cats in the past, but I must say I didn't appreciate there's so much difference between breeds of cats. But
that's why I want to write this book.
I think I'd be very interested to read. I wish you'd write a book about training dogs as well. I think that'd be very good.
I might do. Mm. I might.
Yeah. I could do with that.
Simple one.
Yeah, your average dog trainers are all, they're a bit, I don't know, you just think they're doing that because they can't do anything else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and and I take it more from someone who I know can do other stuff.
Yeah, what you're saying is I need to write it before my work dries up. Otherwise, I too will be doing it just because I can't do anything else.
Yeah.
You know the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. How long? You'll know this, I think. How long is it before you can't? How long have you got? Mildred is approaching 2 years. Do you reckon I could give
easily
you a couple of quid? You can pop round and
we went
train
to our friend's house the other night, Seema and Sandeep's house, and their dog is a cockapoo. Ran straight in, jumping up at me, which everyone thinks is normal. Unacceptable behaviour, in my opinion.
Oh, no, unacceptable.
Your dog should not put its front paws on someone. It can run up and have a look.
Oh my God.
So I operate with any new dog. Jesus. If I came over to your house, Sean, my rule is no touch, no talk, no eye contact until the dog is in a calm state. As soon as the dog sits down and's calm, I'm like, hello, how you doing, mate? The dog's like, oh my God. When I sit down and behave myself, I get love and affection. When I put my paws on and jump up and barking and threatening, I get no attention.
So the big question
is... That took me 2 minutes to teach a six-year-old dog the other day.
Right, okay.
So the answer is... Yes.
But the big question is, can Sean now teach Mildred that when Mildred is used to Sean being all over her and giving her the mourners?
Yes.
What's Mildred's breed and energy level, Sean?
Well, in fact, it sounds like the same as your friend. She is a cockapoo and she's very excitable. Yeah. So, you know, when I get home, she's jumping up and down. She's running to the door. She's doing that thing. The two front legs are up. She's touching me. She has quite bad separation anxiety with Grace, my other half. She really, you know, she can be away from me, but when she's away from Grace for, you know, if we cross the road from Grace, it's quite an ordeal. And I have to pick her up and carry her a bit further along for her to then get over having, you know, left Grace.
So when Grace walks in through the door, what's the and that jumping up and craziness happens where she's so glad, where the dog's so glad to see her, what does Grace do? Is that like, hello baby, I missed you all day? Is it all of that?
Yeah, it's the stuff that you seem to really proud about.
It's literally the worst thing you can do. What you've just taught the dog is when you're anxious, you get love.
Uh-huh.
That's what you've taught your dog.
Wow.
When you're anxious and excited, you get love. And I will say, for parents, this works on children up to about six. If your kid is like, I'm so scared, mummy, and you're like, come on, baby, sorry. You're accidentally, if you go too far, you can be rewarding the anxious state. So my daughter's having a bit of anxiety going to school at the moment. I'm giving her plenty of reassurance, but in a more Mary Poppins way. Come on, let's play a game instead, a bit of diversion there. But with dogs are very literal. They're not like human beings.
Okay.
So the best experiment, just for a week, when you walk in from the door, right? Listeners, I'm going to have to stand up.
Clear, you still think that Mildred's about to turn two. I've still got time.
Within a day, you'll see a difference. Within a day. So you walk straight, within an hour, walk straight in.
You're like Darren Brown for dogs.
You know, like when you see a dancer, comedians have all got awful postures because we sit in cars the whole time. So just come in, posture, chest out, through the door. Don't even acknowledge... the dog touching you the first time. Go straight to the kettle, put the kettle on or whatever, or large whiskey, depending on how the gig's gone. And as soon as the dog has stopped, even sat down with a wiggly bum like that, is still too excited. As soon as the dog sat down and calm, greet with love, but not, oh yeah, baby, like that. Just like, hi, darling, you all right? Did you have a good day? And the dog's going to be like, whoa, hang on a second. That was different.
Okay.
If you both try that for a week.
Very helpful. Do you know what? I'll give that a go. I'm going to try that all week. And Jack, I'll report next week.
I really want to hear
that. That means no talk as well. No talk. So the temptation, you'll be, I'll be with you in a second, darling, whilst you're doing your food. No. No touch, no talk, no eye contact until a calm state. Might take 5 minutes, might take 15 minutes.
Okay.
It's very interesting. And I suspect that the bigger problem is you, Sean, being able to get yourself to do that because you love interacting with your dog like that. And that's the truth of it.
Absolutely. It feels like...
It's counterintuitive not to pay her attention, but actually that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because Russell, you're saying that is wrong, that I love getting home and making a fuss. That's like my favourite part.
Of course. Really.
Or certainly one of the favourite
parts. But it'll be driving the separation anxiety because she's associating an accelerated emotional state with all the hormones going off with reward. So that, of course, will be repeated when you're not there, where she's looking for that to happen.
Okay.
And also, I'm sure it won't happen with your dog, but you don't want a dog that associates excited states with reward, because excited states are anger, anxiety, as well as jumping up and all the other stuff. We're not suggesting you don't give your dog love. We're just saying wait 5 minutes. And also, the other thing people forget to do is when your dog's doing nothing, it's just a boring moment when you're in the middle of watching TV and the dog's on the mat. That's a great time to go over and suddenly give fuss.
Yeah.
Because people forget to randomly rewarding still states, but they never do it. It's when the dog wakes up. Hey, boy, you're awake. But every time your dog's doing something that you want more of in your home, reward. Go and give a treat when it's lying there doing nothing. Oh, good girl. You're having a little sleep being chewed.
Wow.
Who knew you were a dog whisperer, man? You know,
just love a well-behaved dog. And you've got the danger. There's the safety aspect. You've got kids now, Sean. You're going to click your fingers and you're going to have 3 and 4 year olds with their fingers and stuff being stuck out. You want a calm dog when you're in 2-3 years time, when your baby is, you know, three.
Well, when Wilder's three, I'll be on the phone to you, Russell. What the hell do I do?
But that's when it goes, I'm not trying to darken the mood, but that's when it goes wrong for so many dog owners, when there becomes a conflict between, because a dog basically is a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Dog must be bottom of the pack, beneath your daughter. Zero at the bottom, wanting to please.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking, because boring is steady, pragmatic, responsible. You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for red carpets, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money, so you can be happily fulfilled with your life. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Listen closely. As a master painter carefully brushes Benjamin Moore Regal Select down the seam of the wall. It's like poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
Well, Russell, that you've been absolutely fantastic. I feel like we've been on this morning and we've gone over to our celebrity bets.
Yeah, it has been really, really interesting. And I suspect I already know the answer to the final question that we always ask everyone at the end of our chat, which is, do you let Colin kiss you on the mouth?
His breath stinks so much, I no longer do. But I would have back in the day when he smelled of milk and his puppy ears and all of that. I remember when we drove to Spain, I got 2 single beds and there's no air con. We had a budget hotel and he was with his paws up in the air in one and I was in the other and I looked across and went, come on, mate. And he was hitting in with me, which is, if for anyone who knows about my dog training, that is so far past what I would normally permit.
Yeah. And Colin's probably got that as one of his holiday memories, you know. When
it is,
exactly.
Oh, I remember that. It was in Spain and he let me, he gave me a hug in bed.
It's on his Facebook, of course. Colin doesn't have a face, so it's a particularly poignant website for him. Just breed pugs with longer snouts and the breed will survive. Pug breeders, just bring in the longer snout. Let's change the breed standard for pugs because they're such great dogs.
Thank you so much, Russell. You've been fantastic. Very interesting.
Yeah,
very funny.
Thank you, Russell.
Thank you so much.
Cheers, mate.
fascinating.
Very interesting. I have to admit, I feel slightly inadequate as a dog owner because he really knows his stuff and he's put the legwork in as well, hasn't he?
But especially after I've gone and opened up that there are days where I don't change the dog bowl.
Yeah, you could not have said that on a worst episode.
I know. I know. I was going to kind of reference it at one point before. I know he'll tell me off.
Yeah. It was, he really is. He is a sort of, he's quite an expert, isn't he? Had no idea.
I mean, like you say, he made you feel inadequate. I would say this. I think, and Russell was obviously a fantastic dog parent, clearly. Mm. You know, and he clearly loves Colin, and dogs and cats have been in his life, his entire life. I think that he's quite far the other way. I don't think it's normal to, even though that Russell says, you know, this is the best way to be, and I'm sure he's right, I don't think that's the average way to be.
I think he won't be offended if I say there is nothing normal about Russell Kane anyway. Well, there isn't. He's, you know, he's an extraordinary person. And he you know, we were never going to hear from, don't mind my dog and something. You know, it was going to be one way or the other, wasn't it, with him?
No, absolutely. Mm. And it surprised me, Russell's, almost his tone, how serious, you know, because Russell's a very flamboyant man.
Yeah.
And very energetic. You know, he's like... You know, Russell, being in a green room with Russell is much like being in a green room with Mildred.
Yes.
You know, he's so energetic. Yeah, yeah. He's like a tornado, a force of nature.
Yes.
But actually, when you talk about dogs, it almost does that thing that he was saying he wanted from his pug Colin, that what he wants from pets is that it calms him down.
Yeah, and he's deliberately sought out a breed that will do that for him, that will be that will complement his own character, and that's such a really smart thing to do, is think carefully about what you get if you're going to get a dog.
Yes. Do you know what, Jack? Mm. Actually, I'm talking of the kind of conditions of the dogs, which Russell, you know, did reference with a pug and the breathing problems that come with that. Grace actually did research into what dog to get, and actually cockapoos, if we do have any listeners that are, you know, thinking of getting a dog for the first time, or indeed getting another dog, I will say that cockapoos are, apparently they're one of the healthiest dogs. So there you go. There's something, there's a bit of trivia,
That's
know.
That's great. That's good.
Take
to
that,
know.
Russell. Yeah. Hey?
And don't molt either, apparently, do they? Cockapoos?
No,
don't do that.
No molting.
Yeah. I did hear someone on the common saying that their dog was a sprocker doodle doodle or something like that. And I said, what does that mean? Well, it's part Cocker Spaniel, part Labrador, part Great Dane, part... And I thought, well, come on, you can't keep up making up hybrid names. There comes a point where you have to say your dog is not a pedigree, it's a mongrel. And nothing wrong with mongrels, I think they're lovely.
Yeah.
Often the best choice, really, because you get the best of several breeds, but you can't just keep making up names to accommodate all the different breeds that have gone into your particular dog.
Oh, absolutely. It's like when someone tries to join in on the conversation and go, oh, actually, I'm an eighth Irish. All right, then.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I'm Scottish. That's I don't buy it unless you've got the accent.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Well, that was fantastic. Great episode. And I will do that, Jack, next week.
I'm really very keen to hear how that goes and whether it improves your life. Are you going to get Grace to do the same?
Well, what do you think?
Well, I don't think it'll work if Grace is not doing it. I think she'll just get confused.
You're right. Okay, I'll put it to the test. I'm sure Grace will be happy to join in, and we'll see where we are next week.
That'd be fascinating.
The RSPCA will be around. Yeah. We'll be taken away.
I think it'll improve your life.
Yeah, well, let's watch this space.
Well, thank you for listening to Oh My Dog. It's great getting all these insights from our guests and getting to know a different side of them through their relationships with their dogs. And we hope you're enjoying it too.
Absolutely. And of course, as always, you are very much part of this podcast. So please don't forget to get in touch by emailing us at hello@omdpod.com, or you can find us on Instagram at OMDpod. Leave a voice note, please. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what you think about dogs, any questions you've got, anything you want to pull us up on the podcast. We'd love to hear
it. Yes, we do. And we really love to get your voice notes and hear how you talk to your dog. Maybe what you've learned from the podcast or what you can tell us. That would be really great. And remember, a dog is for life, not just for podcasts.